Good morning. So at this time, we'd like to call the Illinois State Tollway Highway Authority Finance Administration Operations Committee meeting to order for July 16, 2014. Roll call, please.
Chair Wolf?
Here.
Director Darcy? In Director Darcy's absence, Director Sweeney in his capacity as alternate?
Here.
Director Gonzalez?
Here.
Director Peterson? Director Sweeney? Oh, we've got you. Thank you. Chair, we have a quorum.
This time, the chair is going to, Wolf is going to attend by via phone, so I believe attorneys.
Right. So if we could have by the director's present a motion pursuant to the Illinois Open Meetings Act, Section 7, and the bylaws of the authority, Section 8, to allow the chair's participation telephonically due to health reasons.
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Going on to item number 3, public comment. I don't believe we've received any. Going on to item number 4, we have the minutes for the Finance Administration Operations Committee meeting that was held on July 18, 2014. I would need a motion to approve those minutes.
Motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carried. Item number 2, additional items.
For the chair? No.
No additional items?
I have.
Going on to item number 5, under Executive Director, additional items.
Thank you, Chair. So we have today just one presentation. There's an agenda item that you'll notice under engineering that will be presented later in the meeting to award a contract to create a tolling test site on the tollway. Shauna Whitehead is going to give a brief overview. I think of the microphones, I think. Make it easier for the public to hear. It's going to give a brief overview of this test site, which will be a first-in-the-nation installation that will allow us to proactively test equipment before it goes out on our roadways, which is a novel concept. You know, of course, equipment is tested by the manufacturers, but when you have weather conditions or unique traffic conditions, it's nice for us to be able to not only see how the equipment functions here, but fine-tune it to specifically match our requirements here on our system, you know, before we install it, you know, throughout our 286 miles of roads. So Shauna's going to make a brief presentation here. I encourage anybody to ask any questions, but we're very excited about this test site installation.
Good morning, everybody. I'm excited to be here today because this is a very exciting moment, not just for the Illinois Tollway, but for the tolling industry, because this really is a first of its kind test site in the country, in the nation. And we think that what it could offer, especially us with our huge volume of transactions, but the industry as a whole, is pretty significant. I want to walk you through kind of some of the goals and give you a sense of how this will make our customers' lives a lot better. And maybe talk a little bit about how it's going to work and why it's such a big improvement over today. The this first page here does talk about some of our major goals for this test site, which is which will look a lot like our normal tolling zones, except it'll have a sign saying we're not collecting tolls. We'll see a little bit more about that here in a couple of pages. But we want this test site for a few big upcoming reasons. One is we want to get customers the best experience they can have on our tollway, and we are selecting and implementing new technologies all the time, and especially right now because we are at end of life with a number of our existing lane technologies. I know everybody's aware of what we're doing with our back office technology that powers electronic tolling, but we are at the point where we're going to be replacing cameras, we're going to be replacing antennas, readers at the lanes. They're all 10 years plus old. And this is our big opportunity to do the best job we can. One example is feedback transponders. We've talked about this for a long time, those beeping transponders that people really like. Those are going to be manufactured again, and we would like to make sure that they are working correctly before we offer them up to the customers.
And if everybody here thinks, well, you had them before, what can be so different? The answer is, well, the difference is in the details. If they haven't been manufactured in years, they will be a new type of technology, and they will require new antennas and readers, which we already have to get for other reasons anyway, at the lanes. But getting all of that stuff to triangulate for the best signal makes a huge difference. Now, I'm sure everybody here has an iPass or more, one or more iPass transponders, and you probably see the instructions that say, please place it at this point in your windshield, this exact way, so you can get we can get the best read. There are a lot of people, though, who don't always remember to do this, or for some reason can't do it one or two trips. And we would love to do the best job we can with those antenna reads so that even if they have not placed it perfectly, or they have a windshield that is a little different than most windshields, we can pick up a read. That's one example. Another one is just kind of ongoing, cutting-edge technology innovation. All the talk in the industry right now is how can smartphones best be leveraged to collect tolls. A lot of people have smartphones, a growing number of people have smartphones. Surely there's a new payment channel that could be tapped. And doing this is going to be much easier for the Illinois Tollway if we have a test site with really clean data that we don't have to pick apart when we're testing something like the smartphone. If we were to do it without the test site, we would have to pick apart data to make sure we continued to capture tolls appropriately and accurately, and then try to see what the data related to the smartphone would be, which is not always easy and doesn't give you the most accurate information. The last part is enable the ongoing tuning of existing technologies to maximize efficiencies and costs. Now, this is where things probably get a little geeky. I'm not going to lie. But the way that we do triangulate all those antennas and the readers and how we work in the lane makes a huge difference in what we're able, the accuracy that we're able to pick up from the transponders. And again, even if the transponder isn't in the exact place it needs to be in the car, we can often pick it up if we've done a really good job putting our antennas in the right place, which we've only learned from testing over the years. In fact, the way that we've done it has become much more standard for other tollways to adopt who use our similar technology. It's because we have learned so much about the way that this sort of thing should be done. So that is just ongoing tuning. It saves us tons of money every year, millions of dollars every year, and we believe this test site is just going to continue to allow us to not only maintain our excellent performance thus far, but really take a step beyond that, continue saving costs, and really deliver value to our customers. What is the new technology, the new test site? It's the first of a kind in its nation. What makes it so unique? It's very unique because it's going to capture data from captive traffic. Captive traffic means the traffic cannot enter, no cars can enter or exit between the actual toll zone and where tolls are being collected, and then a couple miles downstream where there's the test site. So that you really know what tolls are being collected with our normal technology setup today, and then whatever you're testing downstream, you can see how that data differs from place to place. And again, with our volume of transactions, I think it'd be different if we were all sitting here and we were just tolling one bridge. But we have a volume of transactions that mean even little tiny improvements, little tweaks can make a huge difference in what a customer experiences and the costs we're able to save. It's a living laboratory. It's not something we have to do like we often do right now at night. Right now, when we're trying to test a new technology, we sometimes try to find a place at night that doesn't have a lot of traffic, and we try to quickly swap things in and out, or we crowd them next to each other on a gantry. We use a lot of our own vehicles to do it, and it's not something that gives you a great sense of traffic mix and volume, but this is a living laboratory. It's there all day, every day, working like a toll zone, just not collecting tolls, just collecting data. It's a tool to maximize revenues and control costs, like we talked about. And we really do want to remain at the forefront of the industry. And now there's a beautiful picture to illustrate this. So you can see on the far left the actual Toohey Avenue Toll Plaza on the Tri-State. And then you can see downstream where we plan to put the test site. And we do think it'll be operational by early 2015, which is perfect because we'll be choosing our new cameras. We'll be working to make the most of new readers and antennas by that point, and we'll be working really hard towards all sorts of things like even national interoperability. You can see that the traffic will pass under the normal toll plaza, and then they'll pass under that. It's captive. They can't enter or exit, and at the bottom, you see a picture of what we imagine it will look like to customers. It says, test zone, no tolls taken. They won't have to be confused. They'll go under multiple gantries, but they'll understand that one of them is a test zone. And the minute we get this test site up and running, we have a number of things to test on it. Some of these I've already spoken to, but this first one I haven't necessarily spoken directly to, which is the multi-protocol reader. So those same readers and antennas that we need to test with our beeping transponders actually also are multi-protocol readers, meaning
that the readers and the antennas are what pick up the signal.
They pick
from
up the signal,
right,
from the transponder, yes. And group it together and allow it to become a transaction. And the country as a whole is trying to move towards interoperability. We are, here at the Illinois Tollway, part of the largest interoperable group in the country, the EasyPass group, which is fantastic. But there are other regions that we cannot read their tags, and they cannot read ours right now. Texas, Florida, California, for example. And as the whole nation tries to move towards interoperability, these multi-protocol readers, the protocol is a different region, a different tag, might allow us to do some of that at a much, you know, in a much better way than some of the other options out there. So we will be doing that the minute we get this test site live, trying to test some of our new equipment. New image capture camera technology. Our cameras are old. The images are fine, but they're not great, and the images could be much better, and the images could actually help us get even better reads through bad weather conditions. The cameras available on the market today are a big leap beyond what we originally installed. So we will be putting out an RFP for new cameras, and we will be testing a whole bunch of them that we think meet the basic requirements, and then using data to drive the decision about which camera we ultimately use. And we'll be trying to test in multiple weather conditions and everything like this. Perfect for the living laboratory. Feedback transponders, those beeping transponders I talked about, and smartphone tolling applications I talked about. We'll be using this test site immediately, and we're very excited.
On the last two, Shauna?
Yes.
You distribute models to people? Or do we give them to ourselves? How do we test those?
I don't know if I fully
feedback
heard.
Transponders and smartphone tolling. Oh. How would you test something like that where there's a customer application? So you'd have a test group of customers or our own employees, or how would we do that?
We'll almost certainly start with our own employees and then make sure we get a good test framework, and then we may very well try to get groups of customers to test with us.
Okay.
Will we share or sell the data?
I can be pretty certain we can't sell the data. Sharing data in kind of an aggregated form where you don't have personal information involved sometimes happens within the industry.
But I think you're talking here about sharing the data about how the technology performs.
Oh, like before? Oh, right. Yeah.
We wouldn't do anything different with the customer data than we already do.
Correct.
For sure.
Okay.
But
correct.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, I apologize.
Yeah. So I think what we're talking about, and certainly within this whole road industry, you know, there would be probably some who would be interested in knowing how certain technologies performed, at least on our system.
Some of the manufacturers going to participate in this, even if we don't use their particular product, are they going to somehow, I don't want to say reimburse, but share in the cost of operating this test site? If it is, you know, a more for the community to share, not only us just to test the data, the equipment, but if we're sharing it, there is a benefit to the...
In a direct sense, probably not so much in a direct sense as in an indirect sense. They are, for instance, for the camera RFP, all those organizations that are going to be testing their equipment, that we're going to be testing their cameras, they'll be doing that with us, and they will be sharing the cost of that test.
So it's often the case in those types of competitive RFPs when there's a test, that that the manufacturer or the vendor will share some portion of the test cost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess, although I don't think we've contemplated it, you know, if there were other toll roads, for instance, that wanted to use our test equipment, I guess we could think about how that would be handled,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
And
private manufacturers.
I don't know if we contemplated that. Yeah, and if
they
wanted to
test their own products separate from us.
Right, I think we'd have to give that a little bit more thought about how it would be used, but certainly might be an opportunity there that we should be thinking about. We were, first and foremost, I think, thinking about this for applications of equipment or other things on our own roadways, but, you know, maybe there's a larger, I think you're making the point that there could be a larger opportunity.
There very well could be.
Is the RFP for the cameras for an entity to manage securing a bunch of different kinds of cameras, or are we looking to get a type of camera?
We're looking to get one type of new camera, which makes everything easier and less expensive to manage over time. If you've got
but
one set of spare parts and stuff.
I'm sorry, for the test site, we'll be using a bunch of different cameras, and then the RFP comes after that? Or how?
As part of the RFP process, and I'm only answering because I'm not sure if you can hear Shauna very well, you might be able to. As part of the RFP process, there would be an actual physical test of, you know, whichever equipment, you know, makes a preliminary cut, I would say. So it's not in this case, I think, that the, is that right, Shauna, that we're contemplating
correct.
As part of the RFP process? So not pre-RFP, but as part of the RFP process. That's what we're contemplating currently. I don't think we're done yet.
Yeah, and vendors have to score pretty high in a technical sense, otherwise their camera will not even be tested. So before we even test any cameras, there's a certain number of points that a vendor will need to achieve in order to have their camera tested. So it has to meet all of our requirements and still score high, otherwise we won't even test the technology.
And then does the RFP give us more than one that we're going to test?
Yes, as long as the vendor scores high enough, we could test more than one camera.
I see. Okay, thank you.
What was the criteria? Why did we pick TUI?
There were a number of decisions that went into this. This seemed like the right traffic mix, and it seemed like the best place where we could have captive traffic, where people couldn't enter and exit between the two. And I could certainly get more specific information, but it was a lengthy and involved decision process that resulted in what everybody felt pretty comfortable
with.
Yeah,
that's why I wanted to find out. Mm-hmm. Sure, a lot of detail went into it. I know we have an RFP coming up. What's your estimates on the cost, do you think, overall for this project?
Well, for this project, I think we're going to be talking about this as part of the procurement discussion.
When it's presented, so this...
The item summary and everything?
Right. And this project, you know, does have some unique features, so we'll be able to address those when Paul presents the item under engineering. If we're talking about the RFP, like the cameras and, you know, all of these updates, maybe we can get back to the board with an estimate. We've been dealing with that a lot in customer service, but we can get back to the board with an estimate of kind of the refresh of the electronic tolling infrastructure.
But do you know how long this would go on?
How long what?
The test site? Would that be, would you always have it there? So
in perpetuity.
Yeah, once it's constructed, it would be, I guess, just, I mean, you could compare it to the gantries that, you know, people currently drive under an open road tolling system. So, you know, with maintenance, it would be up for as long as we want it to be, I would imagine.
And we, even with our not ideal testing scenario today, we have been able to do things like, I think it was a little over a year ago that we all talked about that camera washer, for instance. You know, we can save millions a year with these little tweaks. So I think the idea would be to operate this in perpetuity and find new innovations and things to change.
And then as Director Sweeney said, we'll have to, you know, give a little bit more thought to, you know, how it could be structured to make it available to outside entities, you know.
Is there anything like
for
this?
For the right price.
Anywhere else going on like that?
With this captive traffic, no. Yes. Almost all testing in the industry.
We have a valuable manufacturer to be able to try to utilize this, especially with our varied weather.
I know. I agree. There's a lot of weather conditions that make this even more appealing. If there are no final questions, don't hesitate to chime me later if you have any at that point. But thank you very much. We're very excited.
Thank you.
So we used excited about 10 times during the course of that discussion or more. See how many more times we can squeeze excited into the conversation today. Thanks, Shauna.
I'll get a thesaurus next time.
Right. I know. I need one too.
For the record, the chair of our finance committee, Peterson, has arrived at the meeting, so I will now turn the agenda over to him, going on to item number six, chair.
Thank you, Director. Item number six, finance. Is that right? Finance, Mike has two items here.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Directors. Finance does have two items for the committee this morning. The first item on the agenda is a 90-day extension for collection services contracts with NCO Financial and Harris & Harris. Tollway has issued an RFP for new contracts for collection and litigation services. And we're currently completing the review process and expect to make recommendations for new contract awards at next month's meeting. The extensions are necessary to keep continuity with respect to the collection effort. The extensions would require no increase in upper limit of compensation for Harris & Harris, but would require an increase of $500,000 in the upper limit for NCO Financial. Finance recommends approval of the 90-day contract extension to be placed on the board's consent agenda.
The NCO, basically, how long has this contract been gone for? This is a
contract initially began in October of 2009. I think it was an initial term of 3 years and has been renewed, so it's a total of 5 years. It's scheduled to expire at the end of September.
This is for a two-year renewal?
No, this is just a 90-day extension to bridge us to the next contract award. We expect to bring that award next month. There is a transition phase we'll need to pass, to do file transfers and so forth of the accounts.
Well, there's also quite a bit of technology integration as part of this. So to the extent a new vendor is selected, we do have to integrate them with
file
our system. And so
there
is some time period is necessary for that.
So we would expect the new vendor then to take over beginning January 1st? Or if this one's until 12/31? Or are they both kind of in at the same time during the extension time?
We would expect to transition as soon as we can complete the contracting process.
So there may be transition process.
We're almost complete with the evaluation process of the current RFP. So I'll be ready by next. Is the 90 days enough?
It may be. If there's some overlap, I think it will be enough. But if not, we may need to consider another extension.
But typically the extensions are 90 days
to start with,
right? So we always err on the side of being conservative.
Right. And the procurement code does say that if you're going to extend a contract, the first extension only allowed a 90-day extension. If you need any other additional extensions, it could be beyond that time frame. But the initial one has to be 90 days. So that's why we're requesting 90.
Second item is a renewal of contract with Vantiv to provide merchant card processing services. The initial contract period began in December 2011 and it continues through November 2014. There's an upper limit of $45 million on that contract. Only about 4% of the contract amount is retained by Vantiv, as most of the fees paid to Vantiv are passed through to Visa, MasterCard, and Discover as their interchange fees. The recommended renewal would be for 2 years. There's actually two 1-year optional renewals for this contract. The contract was awarded back in 2011 pursuant to an RFP process. Vantiv was the high scoring and selected vendor approved by the board at that time. What this contract does is to settle merchant card transactions, process merchant card transactions, and settle the funds to the Illinois Tolling Commission for Visa, MasterCard, and Discover. We do have a separate contract through the Treasurer's Office for American Express to settle American Express. Vantiv does actually process the transactions. We've been pleased with the service provided by Vantiv. We recommend a renewal of the contract. The dollar volume of the contract, or the upper limit, would be $40 million for that two-year period. That is an increase from the average of $15 million for the past 3 years, but that's because our revenues are increasing. We had an increase in passenger vehicles in 2012, and there's an increase scheduled to go into effect in 2015 for commercial vehicles. So this would just reflect the increased dollar volume of transactions. So finance recommends this item be placed on the board's consent agenda.
Any questions regarding item two? Paula, any questions on?
No, thank you.
Items one, okay. There being no questions, I need to take them separately. We're bringing recusal on item two. Do I hear a motion to approve item one, finance extension of contract for collections and collection litigation services?
Move.
Second.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No opposed. I have recused myself. The motion passes, moves to the full board consent agenda. Item two, do I hear a motion to approve for the renewal of contract of merchant card services? I'm sorry, I recused myself on item two, not item one. So I'm in favor of item one. Item two, renewal of contract for merchant card services to Vantiv Holding LLC. Do I hear a motion to approve?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion, say anybody in opposition? No, I have to recuse myself from item two. The item passes, moves to the full consent board agenda. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
John, procurement.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, everyone. So like finance, we also have two items for consideration this morning. The first item is a request to utilize a CMS master contract to purchase reflective sheeting. This material is used by the Tollway Sign Shop on an as-needed basis to fabricate signs that are used throughout our system. So once these signs are fabricated, our roadway maintenance department installs them per the Federal Highway Administration standards. Award is recommended to 3M Company in an amount not to exceed $450,000 for an 11-month term. Should I take the second item?
Sure.
The second item is a request to renew our contract with the Tollways STAR 999 Motorist Assistance Program. This program enables motorists with the STAR 999 cellular service to report non-emergency incidents on the tollway and other highways in northeastern Illinois. This is a cooperative effort with IDOT, and we pay the vendor directly, and then IDOT reimburses us 50% of the cost of this contract. There is a 20% BEP goal, which is being achieved by their subcontractor, CMW and Associates, which is based in Springfield. Award is recommended to Marketing Alternatives Incorporated in an amount not to exceed $300,000 for the one-year renewal term.
Any questions on items one and two? Okay, there being no questions, any opposition to taking these two together? There being none, do I hear a motion to approve motion. Under procurement items one and two?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes, moves to the full consent board. Thank you, John. Engineering.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Directors. Engineering has 10 items this morning. Item one is a construction contract award. This is for signage improvements at various locations along the Tri-State Tollway. Work also includes installing exit numbering signage on that portion of our system. We received two bids on this contract. Award is recommended to Western Remac, who is the low bidder at $4,424,880. $4.11, and they are meeting our DB goal on this, exceeding it actually. Item number two, you heard the preview of the tolling test site from Shawna. This is a construction contract to install that improvement. It's going to be at the location that Shawna talked about, near just downstream of the ORT tubes at the TUI Toll Plaza. So there's a toll collection test site included in this work. We're also going to be installing some enclosure cabinets for some of the ORT equipment at the Irving Park Toll Plaza. We're going to be doing a tunnel repair at the Irving Park Toll Plaza. And we're also going to be repairing the facade at the Halsted Street Toll Plaza 47A. We received two bids on this contract. The award is recommended to FH Passion S.M. Nielsen, who's the low bidder, $3,357,342.39.
Can you walk us through the engineer's estimate versus the award amount?
So, yes, there is a large differential between the engineer's estimate and the award amount. I will note, however, and start with both bidders who bid this contract saw the contract the exactly same manner. They bid very closely to each other, which forced us to investigate, you know, maybe why the engineers weren't so good at predicting what the final cost was going to be. And there are a few reasons that we believe contributed to this variance. One is we got an aggressive schedule on this contract. We want to get this installed, this test site installed, before the end of the year. So the engineers didn't do a good job at predicting maybe what the premium cost of that expedited schedule was going to be. We also learned in our packaging of unbundled contracts last year that when we put the contracts out later in the year, when the contractors are already busy and they have their work set up for this year, they will take on additional work, but typically, you know, they add a premium to that, so that was not maybe taken into consideration as much as necessary. Really, the whole job involves a lot of unique work, and most of the pay items are lump sum pay items, so we don't have a lot of historical data available to tell us, you know, how much does it cost to relocate this ORT tubes or this ORT signage that we're going to be using here. We don't know. The enclosure cabinet is a new item. Really, the tunnel repair and the plaza repair is very unique to those two situations. It's not a typical work item to be done. So that whenever we don't have a big historical database, it does pose a challenge to the engineers. They do their best to try to estimate the labor hours, maybe the equipment that's going to be involved. But the contractor knows how they're going to build it, actually, and they have a much better handle on what they think the effort's going to be. Thanks. So we do feel like we got good bids here. And we did take a month before bringing this to the board to evaluate it. You know, we thought about, could we repackage it and bid it out again and get a better price? We do not feel we could get a better price for this. So that's why we're making recommendation to award.
I appreciate the explanation. Thank you. Any other questions?
Yep. I was just curious why, other than our usual interest in being efficient, we wanted it done before the end of the year.
I believe we're trying to tie into the new toll collection equipment that we're going to be hopefully developing and bringing on board. So we've been working very closely with business systems to try to get this implemented for them, and this project will do it.
Yeah, this goes back to the camera RFP that we'll be putting out and testing so that we can replace all the cameras, to the multi-protocol reader that will allow interoperability in the longer run, and those beeping transponders in the shorter run. It'll end some sooner than later smartphone testing. It'll also provide some very clean test data to our back office system that is being implemented right now.
So we did think it was important to have it for those, to keep that those other procurements and installations on track. But I think that when we look at it, you know, there's some portion of this that you can say is because, you know, we want it before the end of the year. But I think the majority of the difference is really driven by the fact that you have these very different, you have these unique elements to this project that we don't do this work very often, right? So we're not always, and we've seen from previous, frankly, contracts, you know, usually we're very good on the engineer's estimate, and often things come in slightly below because we are conservative. But to the extent you have things that are a little bit different for us, in what we do. You know, this, I think, is one example of that, where we, when we don't have that historical information, we're not always as, the engineer's estimates aren't always as precise in calculating. So.
Thank you.
Sorry, continue.
Yes, please.
Item 3 is an extra work order in the amount of $422,000. It's on contract 4126. William Charles Construction is the prime contractor for this work. It's for expediting concrete pavement construction, and what it's going to basically do is reduce that operation from 7 weeks to 5 weeks. Processing or approving this extra work order will return this project to its original schedule, and it will allow three lanes of traffic to open up before the scheduled substantial completion date. I do want to mention that we are paying for some extra work hours with this extra work order. It's actually 20 weekdays where we're going to pay for some additional hours of work to be done, 4 Saturdays and 4 Sundays. With today's recommended action, we know the I-90 West corridors are tracking at 5.13% of their award amounts. You know, we normally budget for 5%, so we're very close to what our maximum budget amount is. However, the overall corridor, which we are building for $2.5 billion all the way from O'Hare out to the Cherry Valley Interchange in Rockford, is operating right now at about $100 million under budget. So we have the money for this extra work order. And we do expect, you know, there will be some monies coming back to us, and you'll see that in some of these partial releases and final releases. You know, we typically, during the closeout process, you know, some allowance items are not utilized to address some of the unforeseen conditions in the field, and those monies do come back to the tollway and to get, you know, put back into the corridor budget.
So we're going to say about 2 weeks at least in time to open up, you know, all three lanes.
Yes.
At that point, after 3 weeks, not 5 weeks.
Yes.
After 5 weeks, not 7 weeks.
We're just crunching down a 7 week process into 5 weeks.
I had a question on the diversity detail.
Okay.
And maybe this looked this way when we first saw this contract. The ones that are zero, does that mean?
I just think that it's an achievement to date, which means that their part of the project perhaps hasn't come into play yet.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay.
And even this work item that I'm talking about today isn't going to be conducted until August and September. So.
Okay.
Still a lot of work to be done on this project.
Thank you.
Okay. So, all the remaining items are either partial releases or final releases of retainage. So item 4 is a request for partial release of retainage and reduction of retainage to $50,000. This is on construction contract 4077 with Plody. Remaining work just includes basically punch list items. We show a slight differential on the DBE right burn to date right now, but we are tracking towards meeting this DBE commitment before we close out this contract. Just all the paperwork hasn't been processed.
Any questions on those?
Okay. Item 5, this is a request for partial release of retainage also, and a reduction in retainage to $106,398. This is on construction 4047. With Plody Construction. Remaining work includes, they do have to put up some remote traffic monitoring sensors, microwave sensors yet. This contract is going to finish within the budget, and they are on track to meet their DBE commitment also on this one. Item 6 is a request for partial release of retainage and a reduction in retainage to $75,000. Dollars on construction contract 4072. This is a joint venture of William Charles and Rock Road. They also have to finish up some landscaping and pavement repairs. Contract is finishing within budget, and they are on track to meet their DB commitment. Item number 7 is a request for partial release of retainage, reduction in retainage to $60,198.02. On construction contract 4127 with Illinois Constructors Corporation. The DBE is under review right now. There was some deleted work, however, which impacted the DB workload on this one.
Will we reconcile?
Yes. And you know, we do per discussion with the board on all these partial releases. We do report on all the final DBE numbers when we give you your quarterly reports in the program, so that any of these items which, you know, you're hearing about today and you want to see how they actually finish up, they're reported in there. But we do go through the waiver process working with diversity, and they have to review and sign up on all these also. Item 8 is a partial release of retainage, reduction of retainage to $31,070 on construction contract 4131. This is with Illinois Constructors Corporation. They have to finish up some storm sewer cleaning yet. Contract is also within its budget, tracking towards the DBE amount. Item 9, this is a final release of retainage in the amount of $36,000 on construction contract 4070. This is with Lord Construction Company. The contract is finishing within its budget, and the final DB is exceeding the goal that they committed to at the beginning of the job. And then the last item, item 10, is a final release of retainage. This is in the amount of $252,072.10 on contract 4129. This is with Illinois Constructors Corporation. This contract also is finishing under budget, and the DB information is still being reviewed.
Pending documentation, so that's
good. Yeah, it's pending 2115, which is the actual final form.
You don't see any concerns, any issues with
that? No, not at this
point. And that, based on the CM's input, they feel they are going to at least finish at 18% on the DB, so it's tracking towards that, close to the goal.
Thank you, Paul. Yeah. Are there any questions regarding any of the items under engineering? Any opposition to taking items 1 through 10 together? Any recusals? I don't see any. There being none, then do I hear a motion to approve under engineering items 1 through 10?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Passes. Moves to the full board consent agenda. Thank you. Legal.
Okay, thanks, Director. We are just going to present to you on items 1 through 6 this morning, deferring items 7 and 8 to executive session of the full board next week.
Okay.
So starting with item 1, this is an IGA to be entered with Pace Suburban Bus, of course, a division of the RTA. This will establish the framework for building 3 park and ride facilities along the I-90 corridor at Randall Road, Route 25, and Barrington Road. Essentially the same deal in each of the places. I would just direct your attention specifically to the one at Barrington Road, which has some financial implications for this contract. The tollway will be establishing some additional access roads on the eastbound and westbound ramps there, and Pace will be obligated under this contract to reimburse the tollway to the tune of $1.3 million, which is the estimate for that additional work. Highlights of this deal, this is essentially just an access deal for Pace. There will be no transfer of tollway right-of-way. The access rights will be in existence for 25 years with the options to extend per agreement later. Pace will maintain all of the park and ride facilities at their cost. There are protections built in for the tollway in the very unforeseeable event that Pace would ever fall short of those obligations. Tollway can step in and essentially reclaim access to the property. And each of them, I know we're very excited to say, will also include kiss and ride facilities. Item number 2 is another IG. I'm sorry, any questions on that first one?
Any questions, Paula? Any questions?
No, thank you.
Item number 2 is also an IGA with Pace Suburban Bus. This is in connection with Elgin O'Hare. There will be the removal and replacement of 2 Pace bus stop shelters, and the tollway is agreeing to reinstall new ones on northbound Elmhurst Road and westbound Oakden Street after the teardown occurs. Okay. Item number 3 is an IGA with the New Jersey Turnpike Authority. The tollway finds itself in possession of 45 out-of-service collection machine
ACM, we call them automatic coin machine vaults. These have only nominal scrap value to the tollway, but our friends in New Jersey have a need for them. So for the grand sum of $100 plus shipping and handling, we will be sending these vaults off to New Jersey. I think we've included a picture of these less than new looking vaults in your handouts for today.
The bridge is open now.
How in the world did this happen?
They have some bridge problems. I don't know if you know.
There's actually a lot of the people who do lane work in the tolling industry know one another because they do need pieces of spare parts from time to time, and sometimes they'll even post notices in industry publications and whatnot. So this
great.
Does happen from time to time. It's really nice to be able to share stuff that we don't need.
Thanks, Tom. Item number four, we refer to as a general utility agreement. This is with an entity called Wide Open West, which is currently running some internet cable and phone lines along and near tollway facilities. This is a standard protocol agreement the board has seen in recent months. We do with utilities of all types. This essentially sets up frameworks for dealing with interferences if and when they're ever discovered, determining who will have the obligation to pay, which is typically an obligation to move up for the utility if the land is by permit, land rights, and an obligation on the utility to move if it's off system, off permit. And this is very standard, like we do with other utilities.
How long is this for, this agreement?
This one just runs essentially perpetually while they have their access rights here.
But this isn't a public utility. This is just a, it's like an ICC regulated. It's just a cable company.
That's correct. Just a cable company. Correct. Correct. It runs all three types of services. Okay. Item five will be an amendment to a December 2011 board resolution. This was a resolution where the board authorized the tollway to essentially piggyback on the Illinois Treasurer's agreement with American Express for credit card services. Obviously, you've heard earlier this morning about some of our credit card arrangements, but we have a standalone relationship with American Express through the Treasurer's office. The original board resolution ran through December of 2014, and so we are going to be extending that at this time per your agreement through December 31st of 2017. The tollway would approve per your vote an additional $10 million in spending authority for that extension, again through December 31st 2017, and I would just note that the treasurer's standing agreement with Amex runs through November 17th of 2019. So there is a chance in a couple of years, if we want to continue with the agreement, we would come back to the board and perhaps extend again.
So, I'm sorry, this extension is for how many years until when?
This will take us through December 31st of 2017. The current resolution runs at the end of this year. Mike, did I get that about right?
Yeah. And that's the cost through 2017?
$10 million is a three-year period, from 15 through 17.
Okay. Thank you.
And our last item is, I would say, somewhat in the discretionary camp, but very consistent with how we've, both the legal and the finance teams and procurement, have attempted to facilitate our public bond program under Move Illinois. One of our law firms, you'll recall, we had a 10 law firm pool of firms we approved some time ago to be doing a rotation of work depending on the bond deals. And one of those firms was Michael Best and Friedrich in Chicago. The lead partner, who is essentially the practice area at Michael Best, recently transferred to another Chicago firm called Polsinelli PC. His name is Chuck Katz, and Chuck began the process some time ago with John's team in the procurement world and up the state procurement channels, as well as our team in legal, to see about getting that contract that was issued to Michael Best transferred to his new firm. And after working with the various constituents, including the Attorney General's office, all the approvals have been received for that transfer. And so the final step would be, although as I indicated, somewhat discretionary, but I think very consistent with how we've done things from a transparency standpoint, just having our board approve and acknowledge that there will be a substitution of the Polsinelli firm for the Michael Best firm. I would point out that the Michael Best firm itself has agreed to the transfer to the Polsinelli firm. And there is an agreement there in place we have in our files. and we would just work the Polsinelli firm into the rotation just as we would have with Michael Guskin, as I indicated, essentially the same partner that we signed on for when he was at his old firm. Bit of a mouthful, but not that complicated.
You said there's precedent to do this?
You know, not in my time, Director, and I you know, it's certainly rare, but there are certainly precedent for contracts to be assigned after some kind of corporate succession or merger, what have you. So we tapped into that process to help Mr. Katz get that done. And I think the key thing is that his prior firm has confirmed that they're fine with this move, as are all of our state procurement channels and the Attorney General's office. So we're happy to welcome them to the pool.
Thank you. Are there any questions on legal items 1-6? Any opposition to taking these items together? If not, then I have a motion to approve under legal items 1-6.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Moves to the full consent board agenda. Thank you. Is there any the items, I think Councillor also said item 7 and 8 will be deferred to the full board for exec.
Correct.
Any unfinished business? Any new business? I don't believe we need an executive session today. Before we adjourn, Paula, anything you'd like to say?
No, thank you for having me on the phone. I know it's awkward sometimes. Appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us. You feel better.
Thank you.
There being no other items, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion passes. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone.